This is the time and place set for oral argument in Pasqua versus Bayview Loan Servicing, case number 71770. Is council ready to proceed? Please let the clerk know how much time you wish to reserve for rebuttal.
Thank you. May it please the court, my name is Therese Shanks. I would like to reserve approximately 3 minutes for my rebuttal. I'm here today on behalf of Appellant Ricardo Pasqua. He is present in the gallery today. This appeal calls into question the intent behind Nevada's foreclosure mediation program. That intent has been, since the very beginning, a desire to preserve family homes from foreclosure. And this appeal involves one such family home.
So, and I understand, if you can correct me if I'm wrong, that the decedent was living in the house and that was her personal residence?
Yes, at the time of the decedent's death, she lived in the home. It was her primary residence. It was her husband's primary residence as well.
Oh, he lived there as well?
Yes, with their two children. It was a family home in the most colloquial sense of the term. Okay. What this court is being asked to determine in this appeal is whether Nevada's foreclosure mediation program remains available to families in Nevada who have lost their record title holder, but who remain in the home as the owner-occupants following death. And the specific issue that this appeal raises is whether a owner-occupant of a family home who holds legal title pursuant to intestate succession laws and who has been appointed special administrator but who does not hold record title is eligible to participate in a foreclosure mediation home. The answer to that question is yes.
Why didn't the district court agree with that? I mean, it seems like that's a pretty good argument, you know, like that. What was the court's analysis that why it didn't apply?
Thank you, Your Honor. I think it is also a very good argument. The district court and respondents have focused on record title holder. NRS 107.086 requires the record title holder to be present. And this court's foreclosure mediation rules also require the record title holder to be present. There is nothing in NRS 107.086 or this court's rules that address what happens when that record title holder
is deceased. But I understand that Mr. Pasqua received letters of administration for the record title holder, his wife, who passed away, and so he was just stepping into her position as a resident of that property and record title holder. Is that correct?
No.
Okay.
Mr. Pasqua was appointed a special administrator, which is different than a general administration statute. So he does not automatically step into the roles. As a special administrator, the powers are somewhat limited, and they're delineated in NRS 140.040.
Mm-hmm.
The issue that respondents raised below and that the district court agreed with was that nothing in the order appointing Mr. Pasqua as a special administrator specifically allowed him to participate in the foreclosure mediation program.
Mm-hmm.
However, the general powers under NRS 140.040 allow special administrators to commence, defend, and participate in legal proceedings. And one of the issues that this court has to resolve is whether or not a foreclosure mediation qualifies as a legal proceeding. NRS 140.040 does not define the term legal proceeding, but applying the general rules of statutory construction, the plain language of that term, according to Black's Law Dictionary, the 2014 edition, not the 2009 edition, is a action that is instituted in a court that is necessary to acquire a right, and that is authorized by law. The last two are unquestionably met. Nevada's foreclosure mediation program is authorized by law. It's expressly created by statute, NRS 107.086. It is necessary to acquire a right. Once a homeowner elects to participate in a mediation, no certificate of foreclosure can happen and no foreclosure can occur. And it is instituted in a court. Under the current version of NRS 107.086, which has been in effect, I believe, since June 2017, elections to mediate are filed with the district court. And the mediator must inform the district court of the outcome, and the certificate for foreclosure will issue from the district court. Prior to that, the elections to mediate were filed with this court, in the administrative office of this court, and this court, through the administrative office of the court, would issue the certificate for foreclosure.
Thank you.
Regarding whether a special administrator can be a representative is the second issue this court must decide. NRS 107.086 clearly states that a record title holder may be represented by a representative, but it does not define that term. This court also allows in the foreclosure mediation rules for a record title holder to be represented by a representative. And it sets forth specific classes of representatives in Rule 12, but none of those representatives have the ability to represent a deceased record title holder. One of them is an attorney, but an attorney cannot represent a decedent. They can only represent their state, which means they are representing a representative. The mortgage companies who are elected under NRS Chapter 615, again, cannot represent a deceased person interest. They can only represent the interests of that estate.
So your argument is that the intent of the rules would be to include this type of situation, then?
Unquestionably. This is a situation where you have an owner-occupied home, but you don't have a record title holder yet. That may come later, but during the foreclosure mediation, you have an owner-occupied home. And when the Nevada legislature enacted these foreclosure mediation statutes, the goal was to keep families in homes. It was to preserve that family home. The proponent of the bill specifically said home means something special if you're lucky enough to have one. And unfortunately, most lay people were not aware of what their rights and remedies were when their homes went to foreclosure. They thought, I'm foreclosed, I'm out. So the Nevada legislature came in and created the foreclosure mediation program as a method for these homeowners who could not afford access to legal representation, who did not have sophisticated legal knowledge, to sit down and learn what their remedies were. And learn, maybe they wouldn't lose their home, maybe they could work something out with banks. The situation is no different here. Instead of dealing with a layperson who not only does not know what he is supposed to do legally under the foreclosure statutes, he also now does not know how to handle his late wife's estate, which is not something most lay people do know. When you suddenly lose a loved one, you are not focused on, you know, is my name on this title, do I apply with this statute? You're just trying to figure out how to get through tomorrow and all the tomorrows after that. The foreclosure mediation was intended to specifically protect people like my client, Mr. Pasqua, and his families from having to leave their family home for circumstances beyond their control.
Ms. Shanks, could you clarify a couple of points for me if the record shows this? What was Mrs. Pasqua's date of death?
Ms. Pasqua's date of death, I believe, was May 23rd, 2010. The certificate of death is in the record multiple times.
Okay. And I'm under the understanding that the foreclosure process was initiated by Bayview in 2016.
Yes.
Was Mrs. Pasqua in default under the Bayview loan at the time of her death?
The record does not reflect when the loan went into default. It only reflects when Bayview initiated foreclosure proceedings, which is 2016.
The notice of default and election to sell, I don't know if it got that far. Is it just a notice of default and election to sell, or is it a notice of sale, or try to remember what's in the record?
The record contains a notice of the well, that is a very good question. I don't know that the notice of default is actually in the record.
What I'm trying to determine is, does the notice of default recite, is it in the record, or is there anything in the record that recites the nature and extent of the default by the by Mrs. Pasqua that causes the February 9th, 2016 foreclosure proceedings to commence?
No, I do not believe that there is anything in the record that reflects that.
Okay. Because part of my question is if the decedent isn't in was in default at the time of her death, then it might make sense that the right to mediate the nature of that dispute would succeed to the administrator. What say you, though, to the circumstance where, what may be present here, the loan is not in default at the time the decedent dies? For lots of reasons, people don't attend to their family affairs following a death of a spouse. And then years later, that takes place, but the default occurs after the record title owner dies. Does that make a difference in your analysis here about who gets to participate in mediation?
Only to the extent that the home would still need to qualify with the second requirement for the foreclosure mediation program.
Excuse me? I'm sorry. Could you speak up?
The home would need to qualify with, there's two requirements for the foreclosure mediation program.
Mm-hmm.
One, the record title holder has to be present, but two, it has to be an owner-occupied home.
Mm-hmm.
And now, in this case, I don't think that would make much of a difference because it was still an owner-occupied home. Owner-occupied home is defined as primary residence, and owner is not defined as record title holder. The plain meaning of owner is someone with the right to possess, use, and control. And under Nevada law, when a person dies intestate, as Ms. Pascua does, legal title to real property automatically vests in their heirs at the moment of death. That's been the law in Nevada since 1916, Wren versus Dixon. So if Mr. Pascua, if it was not in default and then went into default, it was still an owner-occupied home. It was, he still had the legal title to the home. It was still a primary family residence, and it met that requirement. The second requirement then would be, is the record title holder present by a recognized representative? Mm-hmm. And our argument is yes. A special administrator qualifies as a representative of a deceased record title holder. It is also important to note that when a person dies intestate and the real property passes, that legal title passes subject to valid encumbrances, which would mean that the mortgage would remain the responsibility. So the only difference would be now you have a situation where the record title holder is no longer the same person as the owner-occupant. But this court has already recognized that that can happen in its own rules. In Foreclosure Mediation Rule 7-1, this court specifically allows the trustee of a trust to represent the interests of the owner-occupant who may not be the trustee of the trust. The trust owns the record title, but the owner-occupant owns the beneficial equitable interest in the home and is the one who owns it. It's no different here. This, the disparity is the record title holder is deceased.
Okay.
If there are no further questions, I will reserve my remaining time for rebuttal.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Aaron Waite. I represent the respondents. The district court did not abuse its discretion in finding that Mr. Pascua did not have standing to see foreclosure mediation here. The foreclosure mediation statute, NRS 108.086, it was enacted in 2009 and has not been changed since then, says that this regards an owner-occupied home, and I'll get to that in just a minute. It also says that the parties who can request mediation are the grantor or the title owner. Mr. Pascua is not the grantor. He did not sign the deed of trust. That clearly does not apply to Mr. Pascua.
What about the rules, though? Don't they equally apply as well as 107.086?
They certainly do. And the rules... Rule 12 of the rules that apply at the time, talk about who can participate in mediation and who can represent at mediation. And yeah, that's correct, but the rules also say, refer to the title owner, the rules also refer to the trustor. And they do say a representative can be present, and that's true. And in at the end of the rule of the time, Rule 12, that applied, it says that a party with the power of attorney can appear and represent.
Well, if you can, why couldn't a special administrator? I mean, it seems it's right the same line of people, like a trustee of probably a revocable trust that the owners put it in for estate planning purposes, and also, why wouldn't this be allowed?
Certainly. And we're not saying that a special administrator can never appear to represent in a foreclosure mediation. We're saying in this particular instance, that's not applicable. And this is why. A special administrator is appointed for emergency purposes, appointed to deal with issues that need to be dealt with immediately with regards to the estate. The case law mostly addresses wrongful death cases and whether the collecting of insurance proceeds or the paying out of insurance proceeds. Bodine is the primary case, but that was affected to some extent by a change to the statute, but the change doesn't affect the analysis here.
But Mr. Waite, I appreciate your argument, one other role of a special administrator is to preserve and protect the assets that come within the fiduciary's responsibility. In this context, wouldn't the special administrator under that requirement be compelled to seek whatever remedies might be available to avoid the loss of real property in the estate?
Yes, potentially yes, but in this instance, I don't believe so, and this is why. Because there were 6 years between the time that the special administrator was appointed and the time of the foreclosure. So, yes, it is definitely possible that if a foreclosure was started, the borrower, the trustor, the title owner passed away, and they needed someone to appear for the foreclosure mediation, or even if the borrower had not passed away but was going to. We're not saying that a special administrator can never appear at a foreclosure mediation. There are definitely instances to preserve the assets of the estate, and preventing a foreclosure would be one of those.
Can you answer my question, Mr. Wade, about the what the record reveals about the status of the default? Do you know whether the default was pre or post death?
I do not know the answer to that question, and the record does not reflect it.
Okay.
Because
I'm trying to understand. I mean, during the recession, lots of times lenders delayed pursuing foreclosures for defaults that had occurred many years before. So I'm not sure whether this home fits in that area or not. But it seems like, to the point you were just talking about earlier, the nature of the default at the time of the date of death, not at the time of the foreclosure, could implicate the right of the special administrator to pursue a mediation. If the special administrator let the property go into the default after he was appointed, as I understand it, he was appointed in 2011 through an amended special letters of administration in the probate. Is that your understanding?
That's correct.
Yeah.
There is one thing in the record that I think may give us some indication. The date of the default is not in the record. The notice of default is not in the record.
Mm-hmm.
The initial petition for the appointment of special administrator does say that Mr. Pasquale wanted to be appointed for the purpose of coordinating a short sale. Coordinating is not the exact word, but the reference to the short sale was in there. But it's not in the record as to.
Yeah, that's what caused me to wonder if they were in default when she passed away, or it sounds like at least by the time he was applying for letters, they were looking at trying to resolve a potential default anyway.
Potentially, yeah, it's not in the record.
But it's not clear.
Mr. Wade, we appreciate that because we know the record's very sparse here because you have a mediator making a ruling. He ruled that Mr. Pasqua wasn't eligible to participate in the mediation. Then it goes up for review under the rules and the statute, so the record's pretty skimpy. So we empathize with both attorneys. You know, you have to deal with that record, and we'll have to try and answer the legal questions based on the record we have.
Understood. Thank you.
What do you say to your opposing colleague's point that he succeeded as owner by virtue of intestate succession laws?
He was not the title owner. And simply succeeding to potentially being the owner through intestate succession wouldn't give him the right to encumber the property. For instance, no lender would ever allow him to borrow against the property if her name was still on it. So even if the intestate succession statute says that the property passes to whoever the heirs may be, that still has to be determined. There still has to be a probate order saying who is entitled to the property, and there has to be a probate order. A general administration, maybe not a general administration, maybe, and not a set-aside. The limited administration may have to be done to convey title to the property. But ultimately that has to happen to make him a title owner to the property. That next step has to be done. I don't think he can just rely on saying, well, I own it now because by intestacy, it would come to me.
I think that's a fair point you're making, but at the same time, as a special administrator, one alternative to foreclosure is to sell the property. So the only way you could sell the property would be through the special administrator process or converting that to a permanent probate. I'm a little bit concerned that we would treat the disposition of the property through a special administrator and probate proceeding differently than we would treat processes that were established to avoid foreclosure differently. If you were writing this opinion, assuming that it was a published opinion, how would we articulate this to say that special administrators are never entitled to participate in the foreclosure mediation program. How would we write that opinion?
Well, and again, we're not saying that special administrators are never allowed
to participate. So how would we make the distinction between, especially where the record isn't clear about when the default occurred, how would we make the outcome clear in the opinion so that in another case, in another day, where a special administrator is trying to participate in mediation, they still can?
This is how I would make the distinction. In Bodine, it talks about, this court addresses, in an NRS 140, talks about what authority that a special administrator has. And it has the authority to collect and take charge of the estate of the decedent, including the management of real property. It can also make mortgage payments. A special administrator can do that. But the special administrator here didn't do any of those things. And another distinction, I think, again, is the timing. So I think that is the big distinction here. In Bodine, I just don't want to misquote it. Let me get there. It says a special administrator is not a general representative of the estate. He is an emergency officer with limited authority to care for and preserve the estate until an executor or general administrator is ascertained or appointed. Our position is that should have been done. Another step should have been taken. The petitioner had 6 years to do something else with this, to file it, to seek a letters of testamentary letters to seek a general appointment.
Well, didn't he get letters of administration that they issued here?
No, I don't believe so. I think the record attached to the record is a docket from the petition. I'm sorry, from the probate petition. It shows the petition, an amended petition, an order appointing the special administrator, 5 creditor claims, and the notice of list pendants.
Well, when you appoint a special administrator, you automatically get the letters of administration, don't you? I thought they were simultaneous.
And that may be true, but there's nothing in the record indicating that those were ever issued.
Sure.
That may well have happened, but it doesn't show up on the docket.
Okay, I understand.
And we've not seen them.
Right.
Yeah, what you're saying is the order appointing him is here, but not the letters.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. And back to your question. A special administrator can participate in foreclosure mediation, but in this particular instance, I don't think the court should treat this as an unlimited power of attorney, for lack of a better way to say it, or giving the special administrator unlimited authority to act in any number of years that the administrator deems that it should take action with regards to, he or she should take action with regards to the property. The timing is really the issue. As I understand the special administration.
Well, but the process for mediation, I respect your point, but the process for mediation doesn't begin until there's a foreclosure notice filed. So even though the special administrator didn't do much, apparently, other than become a special administrator for 5 years, there wouldn't have been any motivation to pursue a resolution with the lender until the foreclosure was initiated in 2016. So, I respect your point, but at least in the context of when mediation kicks in, it's actually the lender that initiates that process.
And then that is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
So the first time the special administrator in this circumstance would have had the opportunity, assuming a special administrator can participate in mediation, would have been after this foreclosure was filed.
That's true, and there's nothing in the record indicating anything that happened between Mrs. Pasquale's death and the recording of the notice of default.
Right.
Summarizing our argument, Mr. Pasquale was not the title owner and not the trustor. I think we move past that then to say, does the probate order give him an ownership interest? And it does not, which then leads us really to the question of, does it give him the authority to participate in foreclosure mediation? And despite the broad language of NRS 140.040 that does delineate what a special administrator does, our position is that in this particular instance, it doesn't it talks about marshaling assets, which means gathering the assets for the purpose of potentially paying creditors, opening up a general administration, something. There's never a blocked account open, at least there's nothing in the probate docket indicating that was done. There's no indication that anything happened after the recording of the Liz pendants. Mm-hmm. It's our position that that order needs to be specific. The special administrator order needs to be specific as to what the special administrator should do. And here it says marshal assets. Based on the amended petition, the order says that the administrator can marshal assets without any other instructions, without any other definition. Our position is that was not, that the district court did not abuse its discretion in finding that that was not enough to allow Mr. Pascua to foreclose.
Isn't it really a legal question, so it wouldn't be a de novo review from our standpoint here on this legal point, or do you think it's a deferential?
I do think it's a deferential.
Why?
Primarily because, well, I guess I don't have a good answer to that, Your Honor. I hadn't thought through that.
Well, I appreciate Your Honor.
Yeah,
I was trying to think of one and I couldn't, but I thought maybe you could. So.
I'm sure after I walk out, I'll think.
I want to just return to NRS 140.0401B. And the numbers are screwed up here a bit. It says that a special administrator may commence, maintain, or defend actions and other legal proceedings as a personal representative. Why doesn't that do it for his capacity?
Again, it's our position, it's the timing in this case. Would allow a special administrator, if the case were filed today and the foreclosure mediation were in a couple of weeks or in a couple of months, I think that would be extensive enough to allow the participation. Our position is that should not be expanded to allow, after 5 or 6 years, allow Mr. Pascua to participate in foreclosure mediation.
And is that sort of a laches concept? Or?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
That's essentially what it would be.
Thank you.
Does the court have any more questions for me? Thank you.
No, thank you. Ms. Jenks, you have 3 minutes and 46 seconds.
Thank you. I will start first with the timing argument. I am not aware that latches applies to how long an administratorship, executorship, special administratorship can apply. I'd be happy to submit supplemental briefing on that. However, the record reflects that his special administrator order is still valid and was still valid in 2016. As my colleague pointed out, the docket is in the record and there is no closure of that special administrative proceeding. He was still a duly appointed special administrator in 2016 when the foreclosure mediation took place. The second question goes to intestate succession and the comment that they have to do something else to get them title. There is a distinction in the law between record title and legal title. Legal title is your right to own it. You own it, it's yours. Record title is what's on the record. Nevada has not addressed this issue since 1916 in the Wren versus Dixon case, but other courts across the country have, and they have recently, within the past 6 years. The Superior Court in New York recently addressed it and said, upon death, when you are in an intestate estate, title to property passes automatically without any further act being required by an administrator. And that case is J.P. Morgan Chase versus McDonald, 998 NYS 2D 275. It's a 2014 case, and it quotes a line of authority coming out of New York. There's similar lines of authority that come out of Wyoming, Mississippi, New Jersey. In fact, the New Jersey Supreme Court noted this is really intestate concession is pretty convenient, aside from joint tenancy. It's the only way you get title directly to someone upon your death without having to involve other people. Going to the argument of the record title holder has to request, that brings us back full circle to what happens when the record title holder dies and the foreclosure happens in that gray time between record title can be transferred. Who gets to request the foreclosure mediation? There's nothing in NRS Chapter 107, there's nothing in this court's rules that exempt a home for mediation simply because one of the owners has died. If it still qualifies as an owner-occupied family residence, it should still be allowed to go into foreclosure mediation, and someone, a representative on behalf of the record title holder, should be allowed to represent them.
So if he had not lived in the home, if they had been separated at the time of her death, or he were a brother who lived elsewhere, you would not argue that the special administrator would be able to participate in foreclosure mediation, right?
No, because it would not be an owner-occupied. Yeah. It would fall within that first requirement, owner-occupied home. So rental homes.
Well, that's why I was raising the question about whether this right is something that survives someone's death, and the status of the default is important. If the home is in default at the time of the death, why wouldn't the special administrator be able to pursue foreclosure mediation, even though presumably nobody's living in there at the time of the mediation? The issue is who is living there at the time of the death, as long as there was a default.
If there was a default prior to the time of death, that does raise some timing questions, because you have different situations. If you have a home that's going into foreclosure and then the decedent dies,
right,
of course a special administrator would want to protect that asset. And it because the decedent was alive, it qualified as an owner-occupied home.
Mm-hmm.
If you had a home that was going into foreclosure and the decedent dies and they don't, no one else is going to live there, then it does not qualify. Or you have the situation in this case where it appears that there were payment problems, because he did request the ability to short sell, which is not a legal proceeding. It's a direct negotiation between the bank. But then he amended his petition. But it went on, and no foreclosure happened for 5 years. And at that point, it's still the family's primary home. Mr. Pasqua, it's in his petition, he argued multiple times, I am the owner and I am the occupant. The respondents have conceded he's the occupant in their brief. So then it becomes that timing question, and the question is, who does the right survive to? Does it attach to the new owner, or does it go to the estate? And the argument in this case, because it's an intestate succession, it would go to the new owner.
Thank you. I want to thank counsel for their briefing and argument in this case, and this matter will stand submitted.